Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Maitreya program. Today we feature articles along the theme of justice. In the July-August 2012 double issue of Share International magazine, this subject is introduced as follows. Justice and injustice take many forms. When Maitreya and the Masters Benjamin Krem and the editorial staff of Share International talk about the need for justice, what is referred to is that state of fair and equitable acknowledgement and implementation of the equal rights of all. It is the equality which guarantees that the rights and needs of all 7.8 billion of us are respected and implemented. Justice must form the basis of all international relations so that trust can grow in the international community and create the conditions which makes permanent peace possible. Justice should pertain equally within each country so that the injustice of a small minority who are hoarding and claiming all resources while the majority are hungry or struggle to get by is banished. The lack of justice in international relations at present, where a huge number of nations and cultures are deemed inferior, breeds resentment and is the cause of violent acts against the powerful. Justice and sharing are inextricably connected. The one cannot exist without the other. Both recognize the equal rights of all, and in doing so, recognize the essential interdependence, the oneness of humanity.
So our first article is by Benjamin Krem's master, and it was originally published in May 1984. It's entitled Justice is Divine, and it begins... Justice is divine, longed for by millions bereft of its sacred balance. Justice brings to the world of men the harmony of God. As a looking glass reflects the image of man, so does justice reflect the nature of the divine. The measure of the lawlessness of the time is known by the degree of injustice in the world. And today, injustice stalks the poor on every hand. Legally, justice rules the field of social regulation of crime and punishment, but fundamentally, justice has to do with the laws of God, which work towards harmony and correct relationship. Every injustice, however small, brings disharmony to the whole. Today, so great are the areas of injustice in every land that extraordinary measures are required to prevent total chaos. Injustice is a denial of man's divine potential. It separates man from man and humanity from God. Throughout the world, many are struggling to free themselves from age-long injustice, exploitation and tyranny, to set down at last the yoke carried by their forebears. We, the watching hierarchy, commend their struggle, for we see it as the expression of the divine spark in all men, yearning for freedom and justice. We give them our hand as we gaze with compassion on their plight.
There are those who would deny that all men have equal rights to a share of God's providence. Those who argue thus have listened only to the voice of the separated self, forgetting that naught that they have and hold but comes to them from God. When men take heed of the voice of God within them, they find in sharing in justice the only answer to man's ills. Today, more and more, that voice of the inner God is being heard, and all sides are arising spokesmen for the dispossessed. The clamor for justice is growing and soon will swell into a crescendo of sound, drowning out the cries for caution which issue from the representatives of the past. How can there be two worlds when the world is one? How can there be division when the law is the same for all men? Presently, men will understand that the suffering of the many is the illness of the whole, and that justice alone will provide the cure. Aid provides but half the answer, though aid is essential now. Justice must blossom fully in the garden of men's heart, and so set all men free. Justice creates the conditions in which man can know himself as God. Linked to his brother by love, he can take boldly in his hand his future and fashion it according to the blueprint of God. Many desire that future now. Blessed are they, blessed as they are with the vision of the whole, yet naught but work and effort will bring it into being through the manifestation of justice, love, and joy. Remember as you move towards the future that no one takes these steps alone. As brothers all, must men proceed along the pathway that leads directly to the source. And from that source does justice emanate, relating men in harmony and love.
And that was the Master's 1984 article. Next, we have a few comments by Benjamin Krem. These are all sourced from a compilation on the theme of justice published in Share International magazine. The hierarchy, through the Master, Joao Cole, has said that the hearts of men are sound, especially the ordinary people. They are ready for peace, justice and sharing. They long for peace. Already the peoples of the world march and demonstrate for peace. Soon they will march calling for justice and sharing. And Maitreya himself said in message number 135, forming themselves into groups, men of goodwill will brandish aloft their hopes and dreams of justice and peace. This clamour will light the torch of truth among the nations, and at its centre shall I be found. This to me shows that the people are ready for sharing and for the Christ. It shows that they're ready for his words. In this way, as he speaks, he will focus and evoke that demand and aspiration. There is no government on earth that can withstand the focused, determined will of educated world public opinion. Few there are who know what brotherhood is, and justice is a dream dreamt by many, struggled for by many, and so far never achieved on a world scale.
Some have achieved a relative degree of justice. Trade unions have fought for justice in their industrial life. People have fought for political justice, for economic justice. Forever, it seems, most people have been struggling for justice because it is the number one concept in the human mind. It means right relationship. That is the meaning of justice. People know instinctively, at their best and highest moment, that the meaning of life is to demonstrate right relationship. But how can we when there is no justice? Maitreya is not going to force anyone to share. But he is going to talk about the necessity of sharing as the only way to produce a rational economic system which will create justice. It is the injustice of the present system which is bringing it to its knees. It is ending because the age which brought it into being has ended. It is a decaying, corrupt, crystallized form which does good to a few and to the many a great deal of harm. Of course, it also does harm to the few to whom it seems to be doing good. It is poisoning, dividing, and threatening the world, so it has to go. Maitreya will not rid the world of starvation, but inspire us to do so for ourselves. Maitreya embodies what we call the Christ consciousness, the energy of love, and it is this energy as it manifests through us that will change the world. Maitreya will inspire in us a change of heart to create justice and therefore peace in the world.
So our next article is a book review by Julian Krem, and the book is titled The Spirit Level, Why Equality is Better for Everyone, and it was written by Richard Wilkinson and Kate Pickett. Julian Krem begins by saying, Share International magazine has been saying it for 30 years, now it's official, sharing really is good for you, even if you're rich, even indeed if you're super rich and belong to the 1%. There is a rapidly growing body of statistical evidence that shows a strong correlation between inequality of income within a society and the incidence of a range of social problems to which that society is prone. Depression and drug use, obesity, teenage pregnancy and violence, for example, are all more prevalent in societies with greater income inequality than they are in more equal societies, while health and life expectancy, educational performance and social mobility all improve with more equal income distribution. What is more, the social problems found in unequal societies affect not only those at the lower end of the economic spectrum, but all social strata.
This is not new information. The corrosive effect on society of inequality has been known for a long time. In recent years, however, a growing group of researchers in various fields have been finding overwhelming evidence of the relationship between inequality and social dysfunction. A steady stream of books bears witness to a growing awareness of the causes of the problems and the means of their solution. And one of the most important of these is called Spirit Level, Why Equality is Better for Everyone by Richard Wilkinson and Kate Pickett. It is impressive for the rationality of its arguments and the simplicity of its conclusions, for the comprehensiveness of its data sources and the scientific rigor of its methods, and for the wealth of evidence it brings together and for its readability. Taking research data on a range of social problems in a number of developed countries, the authors plot this data against the degree of income inequality in each country. To test the results, they also ran similar comparisons on the 50 states of the USA. The conclusions are inescapable. More equal societies do consistently better on a wide range of issues.
In part one of the book, titled Material Success, Social Failure, the authors observe that not only have measures of well-being and happiness ceased to rise with economic growth, but as affluent societies have grown richer, there have been long-term rises in rates of anxiety, depression, and numerous other social problems. They show that, above a certain level of economic development, increases in average income or living standards have little or no effect on social well-being, while differences of income within a population have a profound effect. In developed countries, social health depends very little on the average income enjoyed by their citizens, but very much on income differences within their populations. Part one of the book concludes with an examination of the reasons why inequality has such a deleterious effect on societies and suggests what might be done about it. Most interestingly, the authors observe that rather than treating the effects, the best way of responding to the harm done by high levels of inequality would be to reduce inequality itself, and that the picture they present shows that reducing inequality would increase the well-being and quality of life for all of us.
And part two, which is called The Cost of Inequality, conducts an in-depth discussion of the data relating to each of the following issues: community life and social relations, mental health and drug use, physical health and life expectancy, obesity, educational performance, teenage birth, violence, imprisonment, and social mobility. While in any developed society, those at the lower end of the income scale are likely to do worse in many of these areas, Wilkinson and Pickett demonstrate again and again that more equal societies score better. Not only that, but everyone benefits from more equality, including the better off. According to the authors, the relationship between the degree of equality and the scores on each of the indicators of social well-being are too strong to be dismissed as chance findings. Indeed, where a society scores badly on one of the problems, one can confidently predict that it will score badly on others. And in part three, called A Better Society, suggests ways of building fairer and, as a result, healthier societies. There is ample evidence that the social problems discussed affect everyone and not just the poorer members of society. For example, across whole population, rates of mental illness are 5 times higher in the most unequal compared to the least unequal societies. In more unequal societies, people are 5 times as likely to be in prison, 6 times as likely to be clinically obese, and murder rates may be many times higher. And the effects of inequality are not confined just to the least well-off. Instead, they affect the vast majority of the population. even accounting for possible culture, ethnic, and historical differences that might explain how well or badly societies do across a wide range of social problems, the evidence overwhelmingly points to the inequality as the main determining factor. Most importantly, although proving causality is difficult, there are very strong indications that inequality leads to social dysfunction and not the other way around.
The final part in the book, titled Building the Future, is in many ways the most interesting. It is a far-reaching discussion of what should be done to make our societies more equal. The authors start by pointing out that focusing attention on the inequalities within societies does not mean ignoring the international inequalities between rich and poor countries. Indeed, the evidence strongly suggests that narrowing income differences within rich countries will make them more responsive to the needs of poorer countries. In answer to the question, how can we make our societies more equal, Wilkinson and Pickett suggest that what is required amounts to a transformation of our societies, a transformation which will not be furthered by a departure from peaceful methods, but one which is unlikely to be achieved by tinkering with minor policy options. What is needed, in other words, is an orderly but total rethink of how we structure our societies. Further, now that we know that inequality affects everyone, rich as well as poor, this transformation is a project in which we all have a shared interest. Greater equality is the gateway to a society capable of improving the quality of life for all of us and is an essential step in the development of a sustainable economic system.
The Spirit Level is an empowering book. Anyone involved in promoting the need for sharing and justice will find in it a wealth of information to equip themselves for the task. It demonstrates that what we knew intuitively is borne out by the evidence that inequality leads to social injustice, and injustice causes social dysfunction, which affects us all. With insight, rational argument, and humanity, it analyzes the problem which beset our societies and show the way to building a better and more just future for all. It should be read by all who wish to take part in that project. And for more information, you can visit www.equalitytrust.org.uk. And that's all we have for you this morning. If you want more information, please visit www.share-international.org or email sharenz@yahoo.com. Thank you for listening. Peace and goodwill to everyone. We'll be right back.